invite you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. And if you're visiting with us, we welcome you. Glad that you're here. Thankful for each one that's come and our members and the members of the church and their families. It's just a blessing to be able to meet here together to worship the Lord, and glad that each and every one is here. Pray for those unable to be with us, that the Lord would bring them back safely unto us in every way. In this passage here, we think and muse about Brother John the Apostle, as he began and impressed and inspired by the Lord to write his gospel. It's evidently the Lord took his heart and mind back to that which he would read in Genesis, chapter 1, and in that Genesis account of creation, and where it states in the beginning there, in the beginning God created the things that he did. And then on that first day, there is one thing that is mentioned there, is that the Lord created the light. And he did so before the sun. Before the sun and the moons and the moon and the celestial bodies and such, because he is indeed light. And so with that thinking, it seems, Brother John, again under the inspiration of the Lord, writes this in the Gospel of John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we see there that name, Word, with a capital W, is indeed a name of someone that John is telling us about. The same, this one that is known as the Word, the same was in the beginning with God. It says this one who is the Word was in the beginning, he was with God, and he was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by him. So we see that he's the creator. And without him was not anything made that was made. If it's made, visible, invisible, it's been made by this one whose name is the Word. Then we see here in verse number 4 a transition. In him was life. In him was life. And so this one known as the Word is the holder, the one who is life. And the life was the light of men. We have this transition now, that he's not only the Word, but he is the light of men. You think about light. Light is really something. It's by light that you and I have our vision, and we so enjoy our vision, don't we? As I get older, I want more light so I can see what I'm doing. I don't know if you are subject to that. I get frustrated by marginal light conditions. I'm so thankful for our auditorium and how bright it is when the sun's shining, and we enjoy the sun shining and giving us that light. And as we work, as we pursue and do things, it's better to have light than to not have light, isn't it? But light is again the vehicle that which the Lord has used by which our eyes work. If it's dark, the absence of light, it's hard for us to distinguish things. We maybe see some things in shadow because of a little bit of light, but we don't see things as they are. All of us have maybe taken a flashlight and gone into a place to work, or gone into a place where we have not been before, and we take the light and we shine it in there and we say, oh, because it reveals. Light is a revealer, isn't it? Light tells the truth about a place. Without light, we would maybe open the door of a closet that we've not have been into for a good while. And as we would open that door without light, it would be hard and obscure, hard to see what's going on in there. But with the light, we can say, oh, wow, I've not been in here for a while. The light is a revealer. The light tells us the truth. Without light, if you would, close your eyes. Close your eyes for me just for a second. Without light, our life would be a totally different existence. We can only imagine to about those who are blind or having trouble with their sight, as there is light and they know there is light, but they have hard because of their vision problems, being able to distinguish what the light does reveal because of the absence of sight. We so rely upon sight. We're so glad and thankful to have our sight, and the threat of not being able to have sight is really a scary thing to each and every one of us. And it all works because of the light. The light. It says here, in him was life, and the life that he is, this one that's being spoken about, was, is the light of men. If men are going to have light, it's going to be by this one whose name is the Word. Let's read on. And the light shineth in darkness, as I've described to you. This is that light that shines not only in physical darkness, but spiritual darkness. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John's making a thing known unto us here that this light, this one that he's speaking about, we'll see here, he shines forth, and the darkness is going, what? What? Doesn't understand it. The darkness sees no purpose in it. The darkness sees no benefit in this light shining. The darkness, frankly, wants nothing to do with the light. The darkness comprehended it not. The thing is you and I know, and you and I know that for things to be revealed, for things to be seen, for things to be pursued, for things to be dealt with, for truth to be made manifest, there must be light. And the darkness says, I don't get that. I don't comprehend what light is all about. And the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, speaking of John the Baptist. We know that from other passages in the Gospels. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Now here in our King James translations, we see this name, a capital L, this one who is the Word. It's alluding to and hinting to that his name also is the light. And John was sent to bear witness of him. Why? That all through him, not through John, but through the light, through the Word, might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John was not the light. John was a man sent by God, as it says here. And he was sent forward to bear witness of the one who is the light, the one who is the Word. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Listen, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Very important statement. Very few words to describe this. But the Word, who is the Creator, who was God and is God, who was at the beginning, and what we read in Genesis and the creation tells us in other passages, and namely in Colossians, that all things were made by this one who is the Word and who is the light. All things seen, visible and invisible, were made by him. They were made for him, and he holds them all together. So many passages that we could look at. This one is the true light, and listen, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. If a soul, if a person is going to be illuminated, they're only going to be illuminated by this one who is the Word and who is the light. And so what we want to preach on this morning is just this simple thing, a profound thing, a blessed thing, but Jesus is our light. I try to associate different songs with different messages that the Lord gives me and that I preach. And Brother Jamie led the choir this morning, and the light of the world is Jesus. And this passage is the genesis of that song, I believe. The light of the world indeed is Jesus. There's no other light brighter and more glorious than his. There's no other light that is truthful as our Lord is. And if any soul is going to be enlightened, it's going to be by this one who is the God-man, God the Son, having come down in the flesh and become a man. He is the only one that can shine the light into the darkness of a soul and of a heart. He is the only one that can do so. He is our light. In Acts chapter 4, we'll keep you busy here with passages. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me if you will. Here in Acts chapter 4, Brother Peter is preaching. And we want to just make note of this point here. And in our passage, the passage we looked at in John chapter 1, it says here that that all men through him might believe. That was in John chapter 1, verse number 7. The same came for a witness, John did, John the Baptist, to bear witness of the light, that all men through the light might believe. It's only, understand, salvation of the soul is not by religion. It's not by religious practice or religious order. It's by a person, by the person of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, having come in the flesh. And Brother Peter, in Acts chapter 4, as he preaches in this day, he says here in verse number four, chapter 4 of Acts, verse number 12, he preaches to those people. We hear the word of God today. Neither is there salvation in any other. So you take your other list and you make it. You put a title there of other means of salvation. And you list them down. Religious practice, religious pursuit, religious deeds and works and such as that. And the Lord, the scripture says, neither is there salvation in any other. The Lord says, if you can list it on that list, salvation is not found there. For there is none other name. So now you have a listing of names. Other names by which men have sought to be saved. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, other than that of the light. The light, that's what John came telling. That's what the Lord sent John to do. Remember, as I read there in John 1:6, you read it if you had your Bible turned there. It said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And John said nothing about himself. He spoke only of Jesus. And John the Apostle, two different men. John the Apostle, as he writes, what's he talking about? Who's he talking about? Is he talking about himself? No, he's talking about the light. He's talking about the Word. And indeed, Jesus is our light. In Luke chapter 1, we have here a blessed passage. We don't have time this morning to read it all, but there's just one point that we want to make. Brother Zachariah is a rejoicing over the birth of his son. His tongue has been loosed, and that was given to him because of his doubt at the proclamation of the angel about the birth of this one, John the Baptist, who we've read about. And listen to what he says here regarding John's work and who it was for, who he was going to be sent before in that. He says in verse 76 of Luke chapter 1, that John the Baptist would be called the prophet of the highest. He would go before his face. He's going to give knowledge of some things in verse number 7, namely, knowledge of salvation unto this people by the remission, payment of their sins. How? Through the tender mercy of God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. And what does day spring talk about? Talks about the rising of the sun. Talks about, pardon me, the great shining of the light. And listen to this. Verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This one's going to come and he's going to shine the light. He's going to shine the light, the one that John, Zechariah has prophesied that's going to come in a few months after John's birth. And he's going to be, John's going to be his prophet in 30 some years. And then the Lord Jesus is going to come on the scene and by his evidence, by the scriptures. And he said, he's going to be a shiner of the light. There's folks sitting in darkness and Jesus is going to shine the light. There's folks held captive and Jesus is going to shine the light. There's a people that doesn't know the way of peace. And Jesus is going to shine the light to show that way of peace that's only found in him. Oh, what a rejoicing. Right, a rejoicing Brother Zechariah was full of in that day. And he proclaims to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. There are those that have the shadow of death hanging over them, as it is with every sinner that is without Christ. That shadow of death coming and the doom because of sin and the condemnation thereof abiding upon them. And you know what? Jesus can shine the light and shines the light that sinners might see the truth about their sin and see about that the light, the Word, is the only Savior that they need and the Savior indeed that has come. Our Lord Jesus was born and in time for the purification of Mary, according to the law, they go to Jerusalem to do those things, to dedicate the Lord in that day. And Brother Simeon is there, and he's been shown by the Lord that he wouldn't die until he saw the Christ. And he was waiting. He was waiting for those children coming through there and waiting for them to come. And we see his testimony in Luke chapter 2, verse number 32. And he rejoiced. He says in verse number 30, he says in verse 29, he said, I'm ready to go now, Lord. Verse number 30, my eyes have seen thy salvation, as he holds the babe. And what's he say there? In verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles, as he holds this child, a light to lighten the Gentiles. This little baby that he's holding some months after he was born, some weeks after he was born, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Here he is. He is the light, he says, to lighten even the way of those that are estranged from the commonwealth of Israel. Our Lord Jesus is known and is a light unto us. Praise the Lord that Gentiles like you and I can be saved. Salvation is not only for the Jews, for the Lord's nation, for his people, but also to those that are estranged from the commonwealth of Israel. He is a light unto us. In Matthew chapter 4, this has always been a passage that has been a blessing to me. Pardon me, I'm wrestling with this cough drop and it's not wanting to behave. In Matthew chapter 4, the Lord Jesus has lived a young life. He's a young man. He's coming into the prime of his life at 30 some years old, and he goes to be baptized of John and begins his ministry. And here's the testimony of Brother Matthew as he writes, a prophecy being fulfilled that has been spoken long ago in the Old Testament scriptures, but is being manifested now, at the beginning of the Lord preaching and teaching. In Matthew chapter 4, we'll just read this one verse, in verse number 16. Listen to what he says. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them that sat in the region in the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Jesus being there physically on the scene, beginning to speak and to preach, and to testify of the reason that he's come, the testimony of Brother Matthew and the testimony of the Old Testament scriptures is that the light is shining. The light is shining. Not at the advent of some organization, not at the advent of some work of men, but at the advent of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching repentance and salvation unto sinners. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. Why? Because they saw and heard him. Because we see and we hear him. And to them which sat in the region in the shadow, region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. You can see what's really going on. The deception and the chains of sin are revealed, and the need is revealed. I tell you what, when the truth is declared, there is help and hope. And that is found only in our Lord Jesus Christ. As we take a look through the scriptures and Brother Doug going through the Sermon on the Mount, we come over here to Matthew chapter 5 and we read in verses number 14 and 16 through 16 in this chapter And here we want to see examples of what the light, his light, will cause in those who are touched and saved by the Lord. What does the Lord tell us here in Matthew 5, 14 through 16? He says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The light of the Lord will cause his people to shine for him. Understand, it is salvation is not by ourselves lighting our own candle. Salvation is by the Lord. The children of God are reflectors of the light of the Lord Jesus. It's his glorious light that has shone unto us and shown us our sin and shown us our need. Never in the scriptures are we ever told to save ourselves. Never are we ever told to accomplish something to save ourselves. We're told to repent of our sins and believe and trust in our Lord Jesus, who is the light, who is the word, who is the Savior. And you know what? He is the one that gives us life, saves us, causes us to shine by his power. And the Lord Jesus says and declares here, we are the light. We are his representatives. We are his shining in this old flesh unto a lost and dying world. In this context that we have in his church, we indeed are his body, are we not? We are his body. Not he ours, but we are his body to live and to shine for him. As it is known, you don't go take your light fixtures and put them underneath your beds in your houses, do you? That's nonsensical, isn't it? It said no one would take a light and light it and go home and take a bushel basket and throw it over top of your lamp that you turn on. That's nonsensical, isn't it? It's foolish to do such a thing. Lights that have been lit by the Lord Jesus, souls that have been saved by the Lord Jesus, need to shine as he shines and to shine for him. Effects of his light shining into souls and what it will cause. In Luke 11, 33, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place. You don't hide it, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. And so here we have our Lord indicates indeed in Luke 11, 33, he tells us here, lights are to be put on a candlestick to give it elevation. To get it and put it with other lights that are burning and shining. The design of our Lord is indeed just that. Sinners who are saved by the Lord are to be baptized by one of his churches and be received into the membership of that. In the scriptures, indeed, it's very clear that a candlestick is a type, is a showing of one of the Lord's churches, how he refers to them. And it's right. That's the design of the Lord, is for sinners saved to be baptized and become a member of his body. Why? To shine collectively for him in that place. Nobody takes a candle and puts it over there in a corner and throws a bunch of blankets on top of it. Nobody does that. But there's a design that the Lord has given. And then he goes on to say this in verse 34. The light of the body is the eye. And we, by some things I mentioned to you earlier, we understand that our eyes work with the light that the Lord has given in the world. That's a physical thing you and I understand. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. He, in speaking about the light, the Lord says, what's your focus? Is your focus, the Lord Jesus asks, is your focus on anything but me? Then darkness is filling you. But if your focus is upon single, is upon me, then and he is the light and he is the word, I tell you what, sinners, children of God like you and I, we can be filled with the light and are filled with the light of our Lord as we look to him. But if we look around everywhere else, but where the Lord is darkness and evil, wickedness lieth at the door. But obedience, singleness to the Lord, hearing his word and looking to him and obeying him, we are filled with light. He says, look out. What do you have inside? He says the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, fastened upon him who is the light, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed. Brother Doug mentioned that this morning. Scripture says that. Take heed. Pay attention. Therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Is it not single on the Lord? I tell you what, if the eyes are upon something else, some other way, some other concoction of men, some way that you and I think is better, darkness is nothing but there. There's only light in the light. That is the Lord Jesus. We don't have light of ourselves. We only have it of him. Take heed. Look out. Therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Verse 36, if thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Focus. Where's your focus? Is it on you? Is it on the world? Is it on another man? I tell you what, if it's not on the light, there's nothing but darkness and evil at hand. But I tell you what, the focus being upon the light that is the Lord. Oh, there's light indeed. Light for every aspect of life. In Luke chapter 8, verse number 16, again, our Lord says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel. You don't take a pitcher or a pot and put over top of it, or putteth it under a bed. What kind of sense would that make? But setteth it on the candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Not only is the light shown forth, but the light that is within the children of God, the people of God, their hearts, their lives being single and fastened upon him. I am saved by him. I'm saved for him. I'm saved because of him and unto him. He is my all in all. Not only is there obedience in setting that light upon a candlestick to shine forth for him, but there is that of a witness. There's a witness. We shine as a witness of not what we've done for the Lord, but what he's done for us. And what he can do for you, what he can do for sinners that are without Christ. Jesus came shining the truth, didn't he? That's what the children of God are to do too, is to shine forth the truth. In Matthew chapter 6 and the Sermon on the Mount again over in the next chapter from 5 and verses 22 and 23, our Lord Jesus says this, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light, single upon him. But if thine eye be evil, not single, not looking at the light who is the Lord, but if thine eye be an evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Listen, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? See, when you're in the dark, you just don't know it. Speaking about the spiritual realm, blindness is a terrible thing. Physical blindness, as I described earlier, is a terrible thing. But you know what's worse? What's worse than physical blindness is spiritual blindness. In spiritual blindness, the person doesn't even know there's a problem. Thinks that everything is just grand and glorious, no issue whatsoever, and don't have a clue that there's an issue until what? Until the light of the Lord begins to shine. The light of the Lord Jesus, the light who is the Lord Jesus. When that light begins to shine, spiritual darkness and sin and depravity is exposed. And we say, like you and I looking into that closet, into that room, we say, whoa, something needs to be done about this. Needs to be a change. And only the light can bring knowledge of that and bring help and deliverance in that change. We've mentioned here about examples about what his light will cause in us. One of those things we can see in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 27 is this. The Lord Jesus says, "What I tell you in darkness, in secret, if you will, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." Along the line of witness is that those who have been illuminated by the light that is the Lord Jesus will tell what they have been shown, what they have been delivered by. We will shine in that way, not only by our conversation and that which we do, but we will also speak of the power to save of the Lord unto others. We will speak about the light that has delivered us. And then in Luke chapter 16, we see something mentioned here. We have that proclamation of the children of light that I read to you there in Matthew 10, 27. Our Lord tells us, you've received it, you see it, you've believed it, you've been rescued and saved by his word and by his salvation. He says, tell it, speak it in the daytime, in the time that you have here. That is a reference that we see in the scriptures, that this time of life is referred to as the daytime, because nighttime cometh when no man worketh. And he says, speak that now in the appropriate time and the right time. So we see the proclamation of the children of light. And then we see here about the wisdom of the children of light. In Luke 16, 8, here the Lord dealing with a parable and such. We take this excerpt in verse number 8, and it says here, "And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." The children of light and those that have been saved do not go and pursue on about wickedness and the operation of this world. But the children of light are to be wise in the knowledge and understanding of the Lord himself. Not wise about the wickedness and the deceitfulness of the way of this world. That's what this unjust steward was, is he found a way that he could get himself out of some trouble by the way that he did. And he said he would be commended by a man in the earth because they agree and they understand about the operation of the earth. But the children of light are not to be so. We're to be knowledgeable about our Lord. And in that declaration, that proclamation, and in the living of life, not be wise about the things of the world and deception and deceit, but being wise about that which is life, and that is our Lord, unlike this world. In conclusion, and in an application, we want to mention some verses here. In John chapter 5, our Lord Jesus speaking about John the Baptist, he said this about him in John 5:35. He was a burning and shining light. That's what Jesus said about John the Baptist. And if Jesus said that about a man, don't you reckon that you and I should pay attention to what that man had to say? If Jesus gave that commendation to a man, and what was it that John preached? John preached in a nutshell, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Amen. Behold the Lamb of God. Isn't that what he declared? There's one at hand that is coming. Matter of fact, is here right now. This is a message of John. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. He's going to gather the wheat into the garner, and he's going to take the chaff, and he's going to burn it with unquenchable fire. He's a savior of sinners, and he's a judge of the unrepentant and the unbelieving. That's the message of John. And you know what the Lord Jesus said about John? He was a burning and shining light. Because you know what John was preaching? Who he was preaching? He was preaching about the light. He was preaching about Jesus. And so if you've never faced this in your lifetime, if you've never faced up with the truth that God has sent forth by his messenger and by his own son, I say that today is the day indeed that you should reckon with the Lord and his message and his word regarding his light. Jesus is indeed our light. In John chapter 8, verse number 12, it says here, as the Lord is dealing with these folks that have believed on him or will believe on him, he says unto them and to us, in John 8, 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. What's that mean? If you're going to see anything, it's only going to be by the Lord Jesus. I'm not talking about the light in your closet at home. I'm talking about what matters for your soul and for your eternity. The only way you're going to see anything is by the light of the Lord Jesus. He says plainly, I'm the light of the world. He doesn't say I am a light, but he says I am the light of the world. Listen to what he says, colon, which means that there's more to come in this. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Follow him. Follow him in what he's given in his word and in his book. Not what's been compiled and put together by others, but by what he says himself in his word. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In the next chapter, in John chapter 9, verse number 5, Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Said, uh-oh, Jesus isn't here now. What do we do? Jesus is here now. And right here this morning, Olmsted Baptist Church, not because of us, because of the Lord's doing, Jesus' body is here in this place, shining for him yet once again. In the context of this and thinking about this very thought, it's going to be a terrible time when the Lord takes and raptures his saints out of this earth and takes his churches off of this earth by virtue of bringing his saints out. It's going to become a dark place. Oh, the sun's still going to shine for a while. But I tell you what, as far as the glorious salvation and liberty and graciousness and mercy and repentance and faith and salvation of souls shining forth, it's going to be a dark day the moment after the rapture of the saints. But right now, he's still here. And not because of me and not because of you, but because of himself and what he's done in us. And we shine forth for him. Are we? I pray we are. We want to. We need to pursue to do so, don't we? He says, while I am in the world, as long as I am the world, he is still the light of the world. Then we come to John chapter 12. Brother John the Apostle writing so much along this thinking, a practical thinking and understanding about Jesus being our light. In John 12, verse 35 and 36, Jesus said unto them, yet a little while the light is with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. You and I have a great advantage in our day in that we have the whole counsel of God and his word. We're not in a day when, like he was dealing in that day with his apostles, where all things were not completely revealed in that. They've been revealed unto us. Everything that we need is revealed to us and given to us here in the world. In the word of God, in the Bible, in the scripture. And here We know that we walk in the light. His light is indeed with us. Yet a little while is the light with you. And because of his resurrection, his light is with us always as his children. You and I here in life, walk. Walk while we have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. But by the word of God, you and I know where we're going. We know what we're to be doing. We know what's going to happen to us and what how he's going to take care of us and the rapture and the resurrection and such as that. We know those things. We have his light to continue on for him until he comes again. While you have the light, believe in the light. And that's what you and I are to do, is to believe continually in him and his light, that ye may be the children of light, which we are. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. But he's not hiding himself from us, is he? No, he's with us. He's given us the comforter to work here in the church. And he's with us forevermore, having completed the things after this passage that were not completed then. And then a hallmark passage, you know, in John chapter 3. And again, if you're here and you're not saved, I beg you to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus as he deals with this man that came and inquired of the Lord Jesus, Nicodemus. Who are you and what are you doing? There's something special about you. There's something different about you. Who are you and what are you doing? And the Lord deals with Nicodemus in this. And in verse number 19, we pick it up here. And the Lord Jesus says this. He says in earlier verses that he didn't come to condemn the world, but that sinners might be saved. But then he's not going to leave us without understanding of the truth. And not going to leave Nicodemus without understanding of the truth. Because you know what? That's what the light does, is it shines upon the truth. It shines the truth and tells what the truth is. Regarding this condemnation about unbelievers, and that's what he's speaking about, is the unbelieving and the condemnation. Understand this of condemnation. There's damnation and punishment and judgment coming. Condemnation, it waits out there. It is sure. It is assigned unto the unrepentant, unto the sinner that is still laden with his sins. It's out there waiting. The only thing that's waiting is for the life of their body to pass. And then they will meet that damnation that lays ahead for the unrepentant and the unbelieving. Condemnation. It's not, well, maybe I'll get a bad judgment, but maybe I won't. No, that's not it. You and I naturally have a terrible judgment against us because we are terribly guilty of sinning against a holy and righteous and just God. And he says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. The light has come into the world and has shone. And men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. They love what they're doing more than they love and want the light. They're content. We were content, weren't we, till the light shined. The light shined effectually in our hearts. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They love their sin. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, just don't want anything to do with it, lest his deeds should be reproved. Like you and I, like us taking that flashlight and shining it in that closet, in that room we've not been in for a while, and we see the filth and the dirtiness, the disorganization, whatever's going on in there. That's the reason men don't want the light, because it's a revealer. The thing is that's what we need. We need the light to shine. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. John 3:21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, enjoys the light, has no quarrel with the light, believes that the light is doing very well by showing these deficiencies, this sin, this separation, all this thing, this filth of wickedness and sin. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God, that God's working on me, that God has saved me, that God is, the Lord Jesus has delivered me. The light has truly shone in this sinner's heart. And I've been saved by the light and the word. Jesus is our light. In John 12, 46, listen to what the Lord Jesus says. If you're here and you're not saved, I beg you, listen to the words of our Lord Jesus and what he says and what you need. I am come a light into the world. John 12, 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus is our light.